Glad to see everyone back here with us this evening. Have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We come to Mark 1. Here we find Jesus. Before we get to our text in verses 40 through 45, he has already cast out a demon in the synagogue on the Sabbath in Capernaum. He had healed Peter's mother-in-law that afternoon in the presence of a few. He had cast out demons from or healed many or maybe even all who were brought to him at that evening after sunset. The next day, Peter and maybe Andrew, James, and John found Jesus outside town where he had gone to pray and told Jesus, "Everybody's looking for you." And maybe they wanted to or expected him to ride the wave of popularity that was beginning to swell. That seemed to apparently be the custom of rabbis in those days. As their popularity grew, they would continue to ride that wave of popularity traveling about. And considering this perspective later expressed of a physical kingdom by the disciples in Acts 1 and verse 6, they may have had thoughts of personal prestige as the closest or earliest followers of this new teacher. Then we read Mark 1, beginning in verse 40. We read, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter." We look at Mark 1, 40-45, and we see a couple of things. We see the leper's plea for one, and then we see the response of Jesus, and then the result. Let's take a deeper look at the leper's plea. Mark 1 and verse 40, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him." The word beseeching there denotes a type of begging. And here, literally, this man fell to his knees and kneeling down to him. And so we see the request being made even before the words leave his lips, saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Look at his attitude, his approach. His approach was one of worship, was one that said that he wanted to worship God. He knew who Jesus was. Keep a finger here in Mark chapter 1 and turn with me over to Matthew chapter 8 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse 1. See what's taking place here. "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him." This was immediately following the Sermon on the Mount. There were many that had followed him from that place. They were worshiping him. They were falling at his feet. They wanted to hear all they could of him. In Luke chapter 5, here we have, in Luke 5 we have a parallel account of our account here in Mark chapter 1. And 5:12 states that the leper fell on his face. He recognized who Jesus was. And in that same account in Luke 5, he also states, Luke does, that the man was full of leprosy. And we'll consider that description and remember that Luke is a physician, he's a doctor. And we consider what Luke writes here, we kind of get a better picture of what is taking place in this leper's life. He is full of leprosy. And from that description, we can likely determine that this is not early onset or mild, but rather fully developed leprosy. And leprosy, we know, could cause body parts to fall off. This was not a very pleasant disease. And so it was a very visibly disturbing disease. The request was prefaced by, if you are willing. If you will. Think about how that phrase must have sounded, and knowing what we know of the leper. Friends, this wasn't a question of whether or not Jesus could do it. He knew that He could. He did not question at all Jesus' ability to be able to cleanse him. But simply said, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. And that indicates as well submission to the will of Jesus. If you will, you can cleanse me. He left it up to Jesus. Didn't demand. He simply said, if you will. When we think about this condition of this leper, let's think of society's attitude toward leprosy and lepers at that time. When one was a leper, this was an incurable disease. It wasn't something that one just went to a physician about and did a couple of things the physician told him to do, and then he was all better. This wasn't the case at all. This was an incurable disease. And it was curable only by God. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Jehoram's reply to Naaman's request for healing of his leprosy. You remember Naaman going into the courts of the king of Israel. And Jehoram's response was what? Am I God? Am I God that I can do this? And so the disease was only curable by God. People recognize that. Nothing anyone, no man could do. It was possibly contagious. In Leviticus 13 and verse 45, we see that when people saw a leper, they were to cover their mouths. The scripture says their mustache, meaning their mouth, and cry unclean. And even if not contagious, contact with anything leprous caused one to be ceremonially unclean. They had to go through a ceremonial process to be clean once more. And those that were afflicted with leprosy were avoided. They were shunned. In Matthew's account, we see this great multitude following Jesus in Matthew 8. In Luke's account, he was in a city. But think of the backlash that this leper is risking from those that are following Jesus. He risked backlash from others for exposing them to leprosy, making them at least ceremonial unclean. And we look at leprosy and the law that this man lived under. In Leviticus 13, 1 through 46, we see that passage there concerning leprous people. They were to be quarantined. They were to be isolated. They had entire villages that were designated just for those that were lepers. No doubt this man had been residing in one for some time. They dwelt alone, outside of camp, away from people. And when they were in contact with others, not only must the others call unclean and cover their mouths, but they had to as well. They were to call unclean, unclean when nearing another person, Leviticus 13, 45. In Leviticus 14, 1 to 32, we see the cleansing ritual for a healed leper. And again, remember that only God could heal a leper. So what about the response of Jesus? How did Jesus respond to this request? Notice, first of all, in verse 41, in Mark 1, and Jesus moved with compassion. Jesus was moved by compassion. He put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Notice first of all his compassion. Many places in the New Testament we read of the compassion of Jesus for others. Matthew 14 and verse 14 we see Jesus' compassion before he fed the 5,000. But think of the compassion he must have felt for this leper. This man that stood before him with the damaged body. He could not stand up straight. that was covered in rags, that had the bell around his neck. Seeing those blood-soaked clothes. But the Scripture doesn't say just that Jesus had compassion upon him. He reached out and touched that leper. The passage doesn't say that the leper warned him off. He did not cry when Jesus took that step toward him, unclean, unclean. But rather it seemed that he believed that Jesus could or would heal him with a word. And Luke's account that he was full of leprosy may indicate that this individual had not had human contact in a very long time. And if so, imagine how it must have felt just to be touched. I'd like to share with you a fictitious account of what we've just read concerning this leper. Not sure who the author was, but the author, whoever it was, seemed to have tried to put themselves in the position of this leper and what it must have been like for him. The story goes, for 5 years, no one touched me. No one. Not one person. Not my wife, not my child, not my friends. No one touched me. They saw me. They spoke to me. I sensed love in their voices. I saw concern in their eyes, but I didn't feel their touch. There was no touch. Not once. No one touched me. What is common to you, I coveted. Handshakes, warm embraces, a tap on the shoulder to get my attention. Such moments were taken from my world. No one touched me. No one bumped into me. What I would have given to be bumped into, to be caught in a crowd, for my shoulder to brush against another's, but for 5 years, it has not happened. How could it? I was not allowed on the streets. Even the rabbis kept their distance from me. I was not permitted in my synagogue, not even welcome in my own house. I was untouchable. I was a leper, and no one touched me until today. One year, during harvest, my grip on the sky seemed weak. The tips of my fingers numbed, first one finger and then another. Within a short time, I could grip the tool but scarcely feel it, and by the end of the season, I felt nothing at all. The hand grasping the handle might as well have belonged to someone else. The feeling was gone. I said nothing to my wife, but I know she suspected something. How could she not? I carried my hand against my body like a wounded bird. One afternoon, I plunged my hands into a basin of water, intending to wash my face, and the water reddened. My finger was bleeding, and bleeding freely. I didn't even know I was wounded. How did I cut myself? On a knife? Did my hand slide across the sharp edge of metal? It must have. But I didn't feel anything. "It's on your clothes, too," my wife said softly. She was behind me. Before looking at her, I looked down at the crimson spots on my robe. For the longest time, I stood over the basin, staring at my hand. Somehow I knew my life was being forever altered. "Shall I go with you to tell the priest?" she asked. "No," I sighed, "I'll go alone." I turned and looked into her moist eyes, and standing next to her was our 3-year-old daughter. Squatting, I gazed into her face and stroked her cheek, saying nothing. What could I say? I stood and looked again at my wife. She touched my shoulder, and with my good hand, I touched hers. It would be our final touch. 5 years have passed, and no one has touched me since, until today. The priest didn't touch me. He looked at my hand, now wrapped in a rag. He looked at my face, now shadowed in sorrow. I've never faulted him for what he said. He was only doing as he was commanded. He covered his mouth and extended his hand, palm forward. "You are unclean," he told me. And with that pronouncement, I lost my family, I lost my farm, my future, my friends. My wife met me at the city gate with a sack of clothing and bread and coins. She didn't speak. By now, friends had gathered. What I saw in their eyes was a precursor to what I've seen in every eye since, fearful pity. As I stepped out, they stepped back. Their horror of my disease was greater than their concern for my heart. So they and everyone else I have seen since stepped back. Oh, how I repulsed those who saw me. 5 years of leprosy had left my hands gnarled. Tips of my fingers were missing, as were portions of an ear and my nose. At the sight of me, fathers grabbed their children. Mothers covered their faces. Children pointed and stared. The rags on my body couldn't hide my sores, nor could the wrap on my face hide the rage in my eyes. I didn't even try to hide it. How many nights did I shake my crippled fist at the silent sky? What did I do to deserve this? But never a reply. Some think I sinned. Some think my parents sinned. I don't know. All I know is that I grew so tired of it all, sleeping in the colony, smelling the stench. I grew so tired of the bell I was required to wear around my neck to warn people of my presence, as if I needed it. One glance and the announcements began, unclean, unclean, unclean. And several weeks ago, I dared walk the road to my village. I had no intent of entering. Heaven knows I only wanted to look again upon my fields, gaze again upon my home, and see perchance the face of my wife. I did not see her, but I saw some children playing in a pasture. I hid behind a tree and watched them scamper and run. Their faces were so joyful and their laughter so contagious that for a moment, for just a moment, I was no longer a leper. I was a farmer. I was a father. I was a man. Infused with their happiness, I stepped out from behind the tree, straightened my back, and I breathed deeply, and they saw me. Before I could retreat, they saw me. And they screamed. And they scattered. One lingered, though, behind the others. One paused and looked in my direction. I don't know. I can't say for sure, but I really think that was my daughter. And I don't know. I really can't say for sure, but I think she was looking for her father. That look is what made me take that step I took today. Of course it was reckless. Of course it was risky. But what did I have to lose? He calls himself God's son. Either he will hear my complaint and kill me, or accept my demands and heal me. Those were my thoughts. I came to him as a defiant man, moved not by faith, but by a desperate anger. God had wrought this calamity on my body, and he would either fix it or end it. But then I saw him. And when I saw him, I was changed. You must remember, I'm a farmer, not a poet, so I cannot find the words to describe what I saw. All I can say is that the Judean mornings are sometimes so fresh, and the sunrise is so glorious, that to look at them is to forget the heat of the day before and the hurt of times past. When I looked at his face, I saw a Judean morning. Before he spoke, I knew he cared. Somehow I knew he hated this disease as much as, no more than I hated it. My rage became trust. My anger became hope. From behind a rock, I watched him descend a hill. Throngs of people followed him. I waited until he was only paces from me. Then I stepped out. Master, he stopped and looked in my directions, as did dozens of others. A flood of fear swept across the crowd. Arms flew in front of faces. Children ducked behind parents. Unclean, someone shouted. Again, I don't blame them. I was a huddled mass of death. But I scarcely heard them. I scarcely saw them. Their panic I'd seen 1,000 times. His compassion, however, I'd never beheld. Everyone stepped back except him. He stepped toward me. Toward me. 5 years ago, my wife had stepped toward me. She was the last to do so. Now he did. I did not move. I just spoke, Lord, you can heal me if you will. Had he healed me with a word, I would have been thrilled. Had he cured me with a prayer, I would have rejoiced. But he wasn't satisfied with speaking to me. He drew near me. He touched me. 5 years ago, my wife had touched me. No one had touched me since, until today. I will. His words were as tender as his touch. Be healed. Energy flooded my body like water through a furrowed field. In an instant, in a moment, I felt warmth where there had been numbness. I felt strength where there had been atrophy. My back straightened and my head lifted. Where I had been eye level with his belt, I now stood eye level with his face, his smiling face. He cupped his hands on my cheeks and drew me so near. I could feel the warmth of his breath and see the wetness in his eyes. Don't tell anyone about this, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded for people who are made well. This will show the people what I have done. And so that is where I'm going. I will show myself to the priest and embrace him. I will show myself to my wife and I will embrace her. I will pick up my daughter and I will embrace her. And I will never forget the one who dared to touch me. He could have healed me with a word, but he wanted to do more than heal me. He wanted to honor me, to validate me, to christen me. Imagine that. Unworthy of the touch of a man, yet worthy of a touch of God. Maybe that can put the story of this leper a little bit more in perspective for us. Knowing what it must have felt like for a man to not felt the touch of another human being for quite some time and to have our Lord and Savior take that step toward him and reach out his hand, place it upon his shoulder and say, be clean. Be clean. But Jesus, although he was willing and although he reached out and he touched this man, we see him responding to both conditions. The leper had said, if you are willing, Jesus said, I will. You can make me clean. Jesus said, be clean. But he warned the leper not to tell. And we learn from Mark 1, 43 and 44, the leper was obviously going to have to tell the priest, but it seems that he didn't stop there, did he? It seems that he went out and he began, verse 45, to publish it much. He wanted people to know what had been done for him. Why not tell? Why would Jesus place this condition upon this man? Why would he give him that command? We remember what happened in Capernaum. The disciples had come and said, everyone's looking for you. They were bringing their sick, their maimed. They wanted Jesus to heal them as well. Being a celebrity would have created obstacles. Crowds of people, attention of religious authorities. So Jesus commanded him that. But what was the result? Saw the request of the leper, the response of Jesus, and what about the result? We see the result in verse 42. When Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him, he said, I will be clean. He was cleansed not a few days later, not a week later, but immediately. Can you imagine as people are there watching? Here's a man that is in rags, blood-soaked rags. There are parts of his face, his hands, maybe even his feet missing. And then all of a sudden, here stands a whole man. He's cleansed. He's healed. He was immediately cleansed. But then the leper disobeyed that command that Jesus gave. And he published it much so, the verse 45, Jesus could no more openly enter into the city but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Jesus could no longer enter the city. The people came from all directions. What can we learn from this leper? What can we learn from this account? Friends, one of the most glaring lessons that we can see is that sin is, in effect, spiritual leprosy. It's not the sinner or the leper who shouts unclean, but God. And just as leprosy required one to be separated from their loved ones and dwell outside the camp, so sin separates the sinner from God. Unlike leprosy, for which the people of Jesus' day before had no cure, there is a cure for sin today. People who, like the leper, believe that Jesus can cleanse them, cry out to him, make me clean. The leper prefaced his request with, if you are willing. Friends, Jesus was willing to give us the cure for sin. And he did just that upon the cross. We know that Jesus is willing because the Bible tells us so. Those who are not Christians, who have not been washed in the cleansing blood of the Lamb, the cleansing blood of Jesus, they are to God like lepers, were to society. Unclean. And of necessity separated from Him. But God's children who are again afflicted with the leprosy of sin are also unclean. So as we put away our Bibles and we take out our psalm books, let's consider this condition. Friends, if you're here tonight and you find yourself outside of Christ, having never been baptized to come in contact with His blood, why not tonight? Friend, your sin is upon you like a leper, like leprosy. Would you repent? Would you believe in Jesus? Would you repent of sin? Would you confess Him before men and be baptized, immersed in water, so that you may be cleansed and be added to His church? Would you do those things tonight? Friend, if you're here this evening and you have sin in your life that you have not repented of, and it's public in nature, friends, would you not heed God's invitation and repent? You need to make your, as I said, your repentance publicly. We're ready to help right now with prayers. But if you're not a Christian and desire to become one by being baptized after repenting and confessing, friends, we're ready to help with that also. Friends, would you continue to be a leper or would you be made clean? If you have a need, would you come while we stand and while we sing?